And welcome back to the Tune In Podcast. Let's go. We're here back again. Preseason's going strong.
Yes, sir.
Got some more games to talk about.
Yes, we do.
We are 3-0 in the preseason. The Jazz are looking pretty good. We're going to give you our reactions to that. But first, how are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing so great. We're our sports here in Utah are doing really well. 2-0. Mm-hmm. Jazz are 3-0. BYU's 5-0. Utah's 4-1 is pretty good.
Might be too good to be true.
Yeah, honestly, we'll enjoy it while we have
reality
it.
Reality might come back in a little bit, but that's all right.
I think so, yeah. But we'll enjoy it while we have it. What a good time to be a sports fan.
Yeah, definitely.
How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good.
Love. I actually, speaking of hockey, is one of those sports that's doing well. It's fun this week talking to one of my buddies at school. He's explaining to me how icing works.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
that's been very confusing.
Like how offside works as well. I'm still learning that.
Yeah.
Pretty fun. I might have to consult him a couple more times throughout the season to understand hockey a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. It's even weird how like they do their standings, and every sport just has to be kind of unique, but it's kind of interesting. Yeah. It's been fun, though. Yeah, we got a lot of exciting things happening, obviously, with our sports here in Utah. So today we're going to make our predictions for NBA awards. But before that, we're going to talk a little about some Jazz news. NBA GM survey came out. We have a couple of games to talk about this past week, a couple coming up in the coming week. And then we'll talk about some NBA news, or greater NBA news, WNBA news as well. And then we'll cover our local sports.
Yeah, make sure to catch us on all the platforms, Spotify, Apple. We're on YouTube a little bit as well. Just look up Tuned In Jazz and give us a good rating. And especially as the Jazz season's about to start, share this podcast with your friends so that they can be tuned in to all things Jazz.
And this is episode 46 of Tuned In Jazz. Ooh, all right. So NBA survey, GM survey's out. For those of you who don't know, NBA sends out a nice little survey. Hopefully they use Qualtrics for Ryan Smith's sake.
I don't know if they do. Probably. Or it's written in.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Qualtrics could handle that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But they sent out a nice little survey. They ask a bunch of questions. Jazz were barely mentioned at all in like the 30, 40 questions. But a couple interesting ones. Biggest steal of the draft. A couple of Jazz guys mentioned, I believe Isaiah Collier was the highest. And Kyle Filipowski, and even Cody Williams was on the, received a couple of votes, which is kind of interesting.
And they maybe received like maybe one or two votes.
Yeah, they weren't in the top 10 or
but
whatever.
I feel like that, though, since there's so many rookies and there's not really a clear top guy, the GMs were not centered on any player from this draft that they thought was the biggest steal. So like all three of our guys getting a vote from at least one GM.
Yeah,
thinking he's the biggest steal.
A lot of guys in the middle of the lottery or late lottery were like Bub Carrington and Devin Carter were both tied for first.
Interesting.
So kind of interesting. I usually don't think of like late lottery guys as a steal. I guess you could steal somebody there, but kind of interesting. How did you think of that as a second rounder or something? But
yeah, some people are saying that point guard from the Bucks, can't remember his name, like Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
That he's going to be really good in like 20s, 4 years because he's backing up Dame and he's learning from Doc Rivers and Giannis. So, like he'll probably not play at all for like a few years, but maybe after that, he'll be really good.
Yeah. It's honestly just like a.
He's only 18 years old, by the way.
Yeah. It's just like throwing darts blindly as far as who's going to be the best rookie. It's just, it could literally be anybody this year. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Does Gershon Yabusele count as a rookie again?
Right? Yeah.
Maybe he's the biggest steal acquisition.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, but that's cool that they made it. I think they were great. Of course, we're so happy to have them fall all the way to like 29 and 32.
Absolutely.
We didn't think we'd get them there.
Yeah. And we got a little nod in the survey as well. Best home court advantage.
Let's go.
Jazz were fifth.
We get loud there in the Delta Center.
Oh, yeah, we do. Number one is the Nuggets. Thunder, and then of course you got two iconic stadiums tied for third, Boston and New York. I ain't mad about that. I could probably respect that. And Jazz are fifth, so we'll take that. Top five environments in the NBA.
Last year when we lost a lot of games, our home record was still pretty good.
Oh yeah.
So I think maybe that GMs have some PTSD from the loud crowd in Utah.
It'll be interesting to see how I've seen a bunch of clips, people like so impressed with the environment for hockey the other day for the home opener. It'd be interesting to see how that affects the home environment for the Jazz, at least the perception of it. Like, will people have more respect for us, or I mean, obviously they already do, we're fifth, but kind of interesting to see how that affects.
I mean, it's hard to hop over those other teams just with how good they've been. If we were winning, I think we would be just right up there with every other stadium like Boston or Denver.
Yeah, I could totally agree with that.
Okay, well, we actually had some games this week.
Yes, we did.
Two wins as well.
Let's go.
As much as preseason really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
we'll take a win when we can get a win.
Yeah, we'll fight hard right now for those.
So starting with Houston, that happened, I believe, was it Saturday?
I think so, yeah.
I think Monday.
Last weekend somewhere.
Yeah, last Monday. So we won 122-113. Pretty good game.
Yeah, not bad.
We actually were trailing the Rockets for pretty much the first three quarters, but not by a lot. And then fourth quarter, we took the lead and didn't look back.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that shows maybe their starters did a lot better than the bench guys at the end. So we can't, or maybe we have more depth than them with a lot of the guys that may not play.
Yeah.
But let's say maybe first, what did you think about our rookies in this game with Williams, Collier, and...
Man, it's a little bit of a rough go right now. I see Isaiah Collier's 1-for-6, Cody Williams 0-for-3, Kyle Filipowski was 3-for-5. I guess that's not bad. But they're just rookies making rookie mistakes. I'd rather them do it in the preseason, honestly. So, or even this season, that's kind of what the season's for, is growing. So,
yeah, I mean, Cody Williams didn't make a shot from the field.
Yeah.
So it's kind of rough, 0-for-3 from the field.
One thing I would like to see from him is I just feel like he just needs to be more aggressive. Like, we know he has skill, but sometimes I feel like he's just standing around waiting for his shot. And it's like, man, we took you in the lottery. We need you to go out there and just be the guy, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, he kind of is just trying to fit in with what other people are doing. But I think he needs to take his shots, right? Isaiah Collier gets his.
Yeah, he does.
No problem with that. I just think he just needs to keep experiencing.
Yeah.
Make those turnovers, miss those shots right now, and just learn from them.
Yeah.
What did you think of our starters, Laurie and Keontae?
I mean, I thought they played okay. Let's see. I think I really loved... I'm really loving what Taylor Hendricks is doing. I know that was his numbers don't jump off the page right now, but when you actually watch, I feel like Taylor Hendricks is starting to find his role. He's looking more
this
like an
a great
NBA
game
player.
For him.
Yeah.
He hit two corner threes in this game.
Yeah. He was making the right plays. He didn't turn the ball over, which is good, especially for a young guy. Got a couple of assists and a steal. So I was most impressed with him. I think kind of a down game for Walker Kessler. Maybe a little off from what I was talking about last week, but
yeah, and yeah. I mean, even thinking into I'll just go right into adding the Dallas game last night too. A lot of these guys that struggled today did pretty good in Dallas. Walker Kessler in Dallas game had 15 rebounds, 9 points,
2 blocks,
played really well.
Yeah.
So he's kind of been up, down, up. He's doing all right now. Lauri Markkanen, he had 11 free throws against the Rockets. Keontae had 5, and Jeez. Isaiah Collier had 7. Jordan Clarkson had 4. We were getting to the free throw line a ton.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it was this game or the Mavericks game, one of the games, all of our points in the fourth quarter came from free throws. So we're definitely getting to the rim a lot. So that's really good. And then I also still love Will Hardy's system with all the passes and the movement. Just still a little bit too many turnovers is the thing. So I think you can see the experience of the team in the amount of turnovers that we have.
Absolutely.
It's not easy to learn Will Hardy's system in like 2 weeks.
No.
And so hopefully these guys are guys that are planning on sticking around for a long time, because just getting thrown into this intricate offense that Will Hardy's doing is not easy. And so it'll pay dividends later, but we're getting a lot of turnovers right now, what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's kind of interesting seeing all the different DNPs. There was more in the Dallas game than the Houston game. I guess that's kind of what you'd want to trim it down as this get closer to the season. Yeah. But like some of these guys, we thought, you know, you'd kind of want to see in the preseason, but I guess Will Hardy's just kind of like letting some of these guys fight for their, like Kyle Filipowski's a guy like that might fight for a couple minutes, or,
yeah,
you know, Drew Eubanks didn't play against Dallas, but it's kind of interesting to see who the Jazz are going to roll with right now. It makes sense, though. I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, you can only play 48 minutes worth of players, right? Absolutely. In each position, so you can't play everybody.
Absolutely.
Anybody else that impressed you or anything else you see from the games?
Man, I'm honestly just loving Johnny Juzang.
Yeah, he's your guy?
He didn't play against Dallas. 12 points in 12 minutes, though. I just really am hoping for him that he finds a consistent role in the Jazz this year. Because I think...
Even if it's like the ninth man or tenth man.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, even if it's like in games that we're out of or whatever, like seeing him be able to go out there and play, I think it's more beneficial for the Jazz to, as if he's like a trade piece, which I know he doesn't have a ton of value, but it helps if he's playing well. But also, it also helps if he actually develops. That's why we re-signed him. So
I think another thing that I'm noticing is Taylor Hendricks seems to fit a lot better at the four position,
so
which is interesting because Lowry's our four.
Yeah.
Right. And so does that mean I kind of like the idea of having Hendricks and John Collins as our backup backcourt.
Yeah.
Or like in the starting lineup, maybe just have Lowry as our center. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like I do think from what I've seen, I like Taylor Hendricks a lot more at the four just because he's a pretty good rim protector. He can guard forwards in the league. Like Kevin Durant and LeBron James are all forwards now. Or power forwards. And
maybe
so,
not Wemby, but that's a different beast.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely need somebody different for that. But like, I don't know. It kind of makes me feel like maybe Taylor Hendricks won't start with Lowry being our power forward just because he seems like he fits better at that position.
That's true. I could see us running a lineup, maybe just flipping him like Lowry. Lowry's played small forward before. That's kind of what he came to the Jazz as, I kind of feel like.
Yeah.
But it might be a little weird.
Or maybe we start Kessler and Markkanen, and then a little bit through the game, Kessler comes out and Hendricks comes in, and Lowry slides down to the five, and we do five out.
I could see that going well, yeah.
Because that's what the Jazz were missing when we had Gobert, is like being able to stretch the floor out. So that would be good.
Yeah, there was a couple of minutes where they did that against the Breakers last week. It was John Collins and Hendricks.
That was pretty good.
And their two-man game inside, I thought, was really nice. So maybe that would help us find a place for John Collins too, because that's like one of our biggest question marks, I feel like, because what are we going to do with him, you know?
Yeah, that backup unit could be nice. We've always hated when other teams go small ball against us, but maybe we have to start going small ball with some of the players we have. So.
That's true. We also mentioned last week, I think both of us had Cody Williams in our end of season starting lineup.
Yeah.
And so somebody, if that is the case, then Taylor Hendricks will be coming off the bench, which is okay, but
See. I mean, he could totally play small forward, but that's kind of just what I've observed so far. I like him at the power forward.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yeah, he's nice. His jump shot's coming along nice too, which has kind of been a worry. So yeah, really good. We got three games, I think, still preseason, right? Or do we start this? No, still preseason.
Yeah, I think the season starts on the 22nd.
Okay. So we have another, probably next week we'll be preparing for our season.
Yeah.
But we play at the Spurs versus the Kings and then at the Blazers. The one home game in between there against the Kings. Anybody on those three teams that you're excited to see I know we're, you know, focused on the Jazz, of course, but anybody that you're...
Well, of course, you want to see Wembanyama any game.
That's true.
But also Stephon Castle on the Spurs. I like Stephon Castle a lot.
Yeah.
And then, just all the rookies, because, I mean, the Blazers have Donovan Klingon. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, he'll get to play a decent amount. So, yeah, any of those.
Yeah.
Any for you?
Yeah, I totally agree that I think the Kings, it'll be exciting. Kings and Spurs, it'll be exciting to see how their veterans, their new guys, DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. Chris Paul, fit. I saw Chris
Harrison
Paul.
Harrison Barnes on the Spurs.
Oh, yeah, Harrison Barnes, good one. I saw Chris Paul threw a lob to Wemby last night.
Oh, shoot.
So the West might be in trouble, I think. But anyway, Jazz aren't really worried about that right now. So, but yeah, these are some interesting rosters kind of newly put together. The Blazers, I guess, are not new. They just have some more pieces. So kind of interesting.
Yeah, but it should be some good games. We're getting super close to real NBA season starting just over a week. So in maybe one or two more episodes, we'll have started the NBA season. So
that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the meat of this episode, it's our NBA award predictions.
All right.
First regular season.
This goes better than last year, hopefully.
So, yes, I was going to say, we did this last year, right?
Yes.
You picked Jordan Poole as your most improved player.
Man.
That didn't look so good. I picked Ben Simmons as my dark horse. So
yeah.
It's a little rough. With that being said, take these predictions with a grain of salt. But we just want to try and see who we think's going to do well this year in the NBA. Who do we think's going to win these awards? And it's fun. And keep in mind that we're talking regular season. Like playoffs, we're not really taking into account playoffs at all. We're just talking regular season. And so these guys are hopefully going to play like 60-plus games. They're going to have long seasons is what we're hoping for. So
theoretically, they could be on bad teams and we wouldn't have to worry about it. So
yeah. Okay. Should we start with MVP or should we save that for last?
Ooh. Let's save that for last. Let's start just under that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, let's come back to MVP.
So starting with Defensive Player of the Year.
All right.
We're allowed, me and Braden, we're going to pick our winner for every award, and then just sprinkled throughout all the awards, we have two dark horses.
Sure.
So who did you have for your Defensive Player of the Year, and did you have a dark horse for this?
I didn't have a dark horse for this, and I suspect this is just a prediction that we have the same guy, but I think Victor Wembanyama.
Yep.
I think it's... Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins 10 of them in a row stays healthy. But
on NBA 2K, he does.
Yeah, I won't go that crazy right now, but I think this year he's got it. He was in the race last year at the end of the year, I think so, as rookie year. So,
well, I mean, the amount of blocks that he gets is insane.
Yeah, it's
like,
wild.
It feels like he's not even trying to get blocks, and he gets blocks.
Yeah.
And he can take up so much space on defense where even if he's like in the vicinity of a shot or if he's anywhere close to the ball, it's going to get swatted. It's going to alter the shot in some way, right? And so it's just so hard to play against him. I agree so much. I think he'll be the Defensive Player of the Year. If not this year, next year for sure.
He's so much better at closing out too. Even like, you know, I would argue he's not that much better than Gobert on the perimeter if you put him in isolation, but in most scenarios when he closes out, it's like he's at least going to affect your shot.
If he's slow on his feet, his arms are so long that he'll still like be able to reach you.
Yeah, he's still a young guy too.
But I have Wemby, but I have a dark horse for this too.
Okay, interesting.
One of mine is Bam Adebayo.
Ooh, okay.
I think Bam Adebayo deserves a Defense Player of the Year.
Yeah.
He should have won one by now, and I think he's, like, we're talking about perimeter. Bam Adebayo can play the perimeter as a center. And so I think he was All-NBA first team this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the running for Defensive Player of the Year for the past 3+ years.
Yeah.
I think this could be his year to win if maybe Wemby chills this year a little bit.
Yeah.
And if the Heat are like one of the top team defenses in the NBA, I could see Bam winning it.
Yeah, I'd actually like that pick. I think it's probably a two-man race between those two guys.
Gobert.
Yeah.
Put him in the mix. But I think that's my dark horse.
It's such a hard award for a young guy to win. Or I mean, a small guy to win. It's kind of a big man's award.
Yeah.
I kind of think people are tired of Gobert, which I could understand.
Do you think Anthony Davis has a shot?
Anthony, I thought about maybe Jaden McDaniels, but I just don't think it's going to be tough. You're gonna have to put up some crazy steals, if right. And that's going to be a hard argument to make. So I like that pick.
Okay, sixth man of the year.
All right, I think this year it's going to Naz Reid. I think that's my pick
again. 2 years in a row is what you're saying.
I think so. I think it's set up even better this year. The way he played at the end of the year, I thought was just like he was just kind of playing out of his mind. So I think he could go back to back. I think, yeah. Especially with Julius Randle in there, he's going to be a better fit next to Gobert. They're more solidified starting lineup. So, yeah.
Dang. Well, I also went with a safe pick. I just did Malik Monk.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because he actually. They probably could have both won it this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just think he wants that award, and he's going to try and get it this year.
Yeah.
And he's going to play a lot of games off the bench.
Yeah, that's a hard one to predict because you never know what lineups are going to be like unless you're locked into every team. So.
We saw Jordan Clarkson's like got the sixth best odds or something like that for a different sixth man. He might start. I don't think he'll start, but who knows? He could win it.
Yeah.
He's won it before.
Yeah, his big question mark is, like, will he play the whole season? Will the Jazz shut him down at some point? Is he going to play like he normally plays?
Is he going to get traded?
Yeah. A lot of, too many question marks for me, but I could see why he's six.
You didn't have a dark horse for this one.
I didn't.
Okay, so we got Reed and Monk.
Yeah.
Rookie of the year.
All right, this one is going to be kind of up in the air for both of us, I think. But somebody I've been really impressed with through Summer League and preseason is Rob Dillingham.
Ooh.
I think he could find it. I would be really interested to see him and Anthony Edwards like start kind of running that backcourt a little bit.
Is he your dark horse or your winner?
He's my winner. Okay. I do have a dark horse for this one, but Rob Dillingham, I think he could average 15-16 this year.
I feel like I don't know how many minutes he's going to get is my thing. But like he might prove to be the sixth man of the team. But he's going to be behind Naz Reid. He's going to be behind Anthony Edwards, Mike Conley, Jaden McDaniels, Rudy Gobert, Julius Randle. Maybe even behind Alexander Walker.
Yeah.
So like then I'm like, well, shoot, how many minutes is he going to get? They have so DiVincenzo, hello?
That's true.
You know, that's where I'm like, dang, he's going to have to ball out because they've got so many good players.
That's true. They did. They're going to need some more offense, I think, is the biggest thing with losing Cat. So I could just see them running. So I feel pretty good about that pick. I also really like, he's not my dark horse, but I also really like Terrence Shannon Jr. I saw he had a dunk the other day for them.
He is looking good.
So their rookies are looking nice. I feel good about Rob Dillingham. Who do you got?
I got Stephon Castle.
Oh, okay. He's my dark horse.
He's your dark horse. Yeah. Okay. I like him because... you know Wemby's going to be great next year. People are going to have to focus on Wemby quite a bit. Chris Paul is going to be able to take the pressure off him with the ball. And so he can kind of fit right in easily. And when he was on UConn last year, he was able to fit into a complex system pretty seamlessly. And so I think he'll come into this year on the Spurs with Popovich. He'll do the same thing where he'll learn the system pretty well. Kind of learn what he needs to do, and I think he'll like thrive in that system.
I can see it.
And the people around him, and so I think he'll get pretty good stats, and I think the Spurs will do decently next year.
Yeah, I like that pick. I think he just seems like a Greg Popovich player. I just looked it up. He had 17 points in their preseason game last night. So
yeah,
that's a good pick.
Exactly what I'm saying.
And Chris Paul, I think he's just at this point has a reputation of like helping young teams. Like he did that in Oklahoma City.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Devin Booker.
Yeah, when he showed up in Phoenix, it was the same thing. I think he could really help this team open up the door for guys like Stephon. So I like that pick. All right, next we got most improved player. This one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little rough. Who do you got in this one?
This was my hardest one.
Yeah.
And this is one of those ones where we don't want to pick a second year player.
No.
We know they're going to get better because their rookie year, they're learning.
Yeah.
So we didn't allow each other to pick a second year player. So the guy I picked was Shaedon Sharpe.
Ooh,
of the Trailblazers.
That's a good pick.
He played really well last year when he was not injured.
Yeah.
And so I think if he just has a full season of not being injured, he could average pretty high points per game.
Yeah.
Trailblazers believe that he's their future, so they're going to play him a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
Too. Like, probably like 40 minutes a game, actually. Mm-hmm. They love to play their players a lot of minutes. So yeah. I think he could win most improved if he just stays healthy.
Yeah, I like that pick. I think he's pretty much an established starter over there at this point.
Yeah.
So, they need somebody to be the guy there. So why not him? That's not a bad
pick.
There's
a lot of opportunity over there at the Trailblazers for a most improved player.
All right, my guy, kind of similar, probably about the same amount of experience. I got Cade Cunningham.
Oh, that's who I had last year.
Yeah, I've always just really liked Cade Cunningham's game, and I thought when he stayed healthy, he just looked really good. I think all that's got to happen is the Pistons just have to have a semi-respectable season, and I think he could be in the mention for that award. I think eventually I could see him making the jump to being an all-star. I'm not sure this year, but he's been kind of on the edge there. Talent wise, so
I think if he led his team to like the 7 or 6 seed, mm-hmm. I think he'd make all star.
Absolutely, yeah,
he could do that. They did make some good acquisitions.
That's true.
Trying to remember, they got Ron Holland,
yeah, they've been stockpiling some picks.
They got Tobias Harris back,
that's true.
They got Fontecchio locked up on a bigger deal, Malik Beasley,
right?
That's right. Yeah. So they got more shooting than they did before,
definitely.
Jalen Duren, I still really like him.
Yeah, so, I think Jaden Ivey is really talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a lot of really good young guys. So.
Yeah, I like that pick. Yeah. I have a dark horse for MIP.
Oh, okay. Who's that?
RJ Barrett.
Ooh, and he's in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
I was, like, trying to
he's
keep
playing
track.
At home. He ended the season last year as like a 24 per game scorer for like the last month or two.
Ooh, interesting.
And that would be pick. If he does that just this whole season, easily most improved player.
Ooh,
and so
yeah.
Like I think he just, like, again, he's in a better place than in New York where they know how to use his skill set. He feels more free, kind of like Laurie. He's reminding me of Laurie right now, and I think he could win most improved, but he's my dark horse.
Oh, I like that. That's a good pick. Especially coming home, bro, you got to carry the load for your home team.
He loves it in Toronto.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, next we got Coach of the Year. Who do you got for your Coach of the Year?
I got Nick Nurse.
Oh, I also have Nick Nurse.
You have Nick Nurse too?
We didn't even talk about this at all.
Interesting.
Let's
go.
Okay.
We didn't mention that even a little bit.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I just think Sixers didn't do so hot last year with the mm-hmm. injuries. He could lead the Sixers easily to a top 3 seed.
Yeah.
And that might be enough for him to get Coach of the Year in itself.
Oh, absolutely. So. Yeah, I was really tempted to put Tom Thibodeau just with how the Knicks have reloaded, but I feel like people are kind of like, it's still kind of some voter fatigue. He's just gotten a lot of Coach of the Year votes. So I feel like Nick Nurse, especially with Paul George. Paul George is going to take so much of the load off Joel.
Yeah.
Especially offensively, Joel. Hopefully that will keep him from getting injured so often if he can just take a break a little bit. And we saw Tyrese Maxey emerge last year as just an
amazing player,
monster, superstar. So
it's easy to win Coach of the Year when you've got great players.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he has that.
Yeah, and they've got some depth. So they still haven't made it out of the first round, but eventually they will, I think. Maybe this year. So
got it.
All right, clutch player. What do you got for this one?
I got Ja Morant.
Oh, I also have Ja Morant.
No
Dang,
way.
What, the heck?
What are we doing?
I know, what the
telepathy.
Yeah.
Telepathy right now, yeah. I got Ja Morant because of that one game last year where he hit that buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Just made me think he's got the clutch gene. And then I think the Grizzlies are going to be in a lot of close games because I don't think they're good enough to blow people out every night.
Yeah.
And so I think he's going to need to hit those shots, and I think he's got that gene where he can do it.
Oh, absolutely. He's such a high-energy guy. Like, that's why we saw De'Aaron Fox win it the year before. Why can't I remember who won it last year? Anyways, but high-energy guys play well generally in late games unless you're Russell Westbrook. But
yeah.
I think he's gonna have a comeback season too. obviously last year was a little rough for PR wise and didn't get to play.
And he knows that, and so yeah. I think he's got that motivation to try and win lots of games.
I think so too, yeah. Well, that takes us to our scoring title. Not necessarily an award, but kind of a low-key award.
Right, and it's not points per game, it's total points.
Yes.
So they got to play a lot of games too. I got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Ooh, okay. That's a good pick. I thought about that one, yeah.
He averaged 30 a game last year. He's the first option on one of the best teams in the league. He scores so easily.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's a three-pointer, mid-range, layup, foul, like, he can do every single method of scoring just so easily.
Yeah.
And so I think no matter what defense they're going up against, he's going to just find a way to get 30 points easily. Yeah. So that's why I got him.
Their roster's so loaded, too. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my attempt to be objective here because I do very much dislike this guy and his team, but I have Jason Tatum.
Oh,
winning
wow.
a scoring title. He was okay. Only fifth last year. He was only a point behind the scoring title, which is, I believe, Luka last year, or at least points per game wise. I don't know. I could see it coming, especially like he's got a lot to prove right now. It took some heat with how the finals went and how the Olympics went. And I think he could have a chip on his shoulder, could get at least a couple more points.
You don't think he's going to lay low and be like, oh, we won already? Like, we'll just coast.
I mean, he could. I mean, we've definitely seen in the last couple of years, like, the hangover that comes after a finals.
Yep.
With the last two champions. Yeah, Denver and Milwaukee kind of had some hangover. So it could happen, but I'm rolling with him for my scoring title this year.
Okay, I'm going to get right into my MVP because it's also Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for me.
Mine too. I have a dark horse, but that's mine.
Okay. Yeah. Same reason as I picked him for scoring title. He can just do so much on the basketball court, especially offensively. And he was second in MVP last year.
Yeah.
And so even if he just does that again, he might win it just by doing the exact same thing he did last year.
Yeah, his team just got better too. They're gonna, my prediction, they'll be the number one team in the West again. Did they finish number one?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, yeah. They'll do it again. They only got better.
And I think they do have a lot to prove
because
they didn't make it out of the second round. They're still young. Everybody's saying that they're kind of too ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
So I think they've got a lot to prove still.
Yeah, and I think he'll score a lot of points. I don't even think it's a bad pick at all for him scoring title because he's also a great perimeter defender. He like almost led the league in steals last year. Yeah, so he's my pick. My dark horse pick, though, picked him last year, Giannis. I think Giannis also has a lot to prove.
You know I love me some Giannis.
I think awards are so interesting because of, like, the voter fatigue. Like, we get so tired of seeing the same guys. And I just wonder, when will the voter fatigue wear off for Giannis? Because he's been playing pretty good the last... The year after his last...
he probably played better than his MVP year last year.
Yeah, he had a couple, especially that finals season where they won the championship. He was like, he had better stats than his MVP season, I think, the year before. And so it's just kind of crazy. I think, and I also think he has a lot to prove with how things went last year with Dame, and they both have a lot to prove, so he's my dark horse.
Yeah, not very many people are picking the Bucks to win the West.
Yeah.
Like, I think most people would pick Celtics over them.
Yep.
Knicks over them.
Sixers got better.
Sixers over them.
Yeah. Orlando's
maybe
getting better.
Maybe even Cavs over them at this point.
Yeah.
So nobody really is putting the Bucks in that conversation anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, so if they finish top three in the East, I don't even think they have to finish first. I don't see why he wouldn't be in that conversation unless Dame's doing all the heavy lifting there, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, and I definitely could see them taking the Bucks to a number one seed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right.
Okay, we'll lock those in again.
Yeah.
And we'll come back to those at the end of the season.
Yeah.
you're not going to go make any changes to your predictions now.
No.
They're set in stone.
Actually, I think Zach Edey's rookie of the year. I think I'm locking it in. Most improved player.
I think he's leading like the betting odds, actually.
He might be.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, in just some NBA news, Shams went to ESPN. Yep. Just a quick note.
Not a surprise at all.
He was on First Take yesterday or today or yesterday with Stephen A. So we're probably going to see that a lot more now. Yep. That's pretty cool for him.
Yeah. Him replacing Woj is like the most predictable thing. Like they were already top competitors. Right. And
I saw an Instagram post that said Shams replacing Woj is like Luka replacing Dirk for the Mavericks.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of funny. Yeah, Woj has been doing it for so long, and Shams is still pretty young, so he'll be doing it for a while.
Yeah, in the last couple of years, he's just kind of emerged. It used to be just be Woj bombs is the only thing we trusted, but Shams has kind of become like a competitor out of nowhere. Like, where the heck did he come from?
I don't know why, like... How did he get popular? I don't even know. Like, I just started seeing his notifications a little bit more, and I was like, okay,
dang.
I start to know this guy, and they talk about him. Yeah.
So it's cool. I'm happy for him that they couldn't get a better guy. So,
yeah, I mean, he's part of our life at this point.
Absolutely.
And then the WNBA Finals is going on right now.
Yep.
And game one happened last night. And I'll tell you, the basketball fan in me needs this. we're at such a shortage of exciting basketball. But this is playoffs, so the atmosphere is pretty loud. These games matter a lot, unlike preseason. And this game went into overtime and was actually like a March Madness feel to me while watching the highlights.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the game, the Liberty, they're up by three. And can't remember her name, but she hit a three-point shot and got fouled to take the lead with 5 seconds left.
Oh, you love that.
And then, like, the Liberty went to pass in the ball out of bounds with 1 second left. They passed it in, and they called a foul at the buzzer. And Brianna Stewart only made one, so they went to overtime. Like, she could have made a free throw, and it would have been over. Or, like, they just didn't foul her, and it would have been over, right? So it's so crazy. And then in overtime, back and forth, the Lynx only won by 2 points.
Dang.
So it was such an exciting game. I don't know very many WNBA players, if I'm being honest, but just being able to watch, like, close basketball games is pretty dope. So,
yeah,
if you haven't watched it, you should just watch the highlights, and you'll get that, what you're missing with this preseason, which is, like, games that matter.
Yeah, I mean, New York against Minnesota, is that a little bit of foreshadowing?
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
I see you.
Just interesting food for thought, you know.
Also kind of fun, Spike Lee was at the court side of this game too.
He's a big New York sports fan.
Yeah, he's got, like, normally he'll have all the Knicks colors, but he had the Liberty colors instead.
Oh, let's go.
Kind of fun. They only play in the Barclays Center though, not the
that's Brooklyn
Square Garden.
Right? Yeah. That's right.
But pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's cool. It is kind of crazy seeing all the growth of women's basketball this year. Thank Caitlin Clark for that.
Yes, literally.
She's insane.
Everything she touches turns to gold.
Oh, absolutely. But it's highlighted a lot of really other talented female basketball players. I still think that there's a lot of areas where they have to grow, but overall, it's getting a lot more attention. It's awesome. Another thing that's getting a lot more attention, Utah Hockey Club.
Let's go,
We're
Utah.
Here, boys.
And these are real games. These aren't preseason games.
Yeah, we are undefeated. I saw last night we're at the top of the standings.
Let's go.
Stanley Cup, here we come. I saw Ryan Smith in like an interview. He was saying like the Jazz and the Utah Hockey Club are racing to see who can put a banner up in the rafters first. Oh man, you love to hear that. I love Ryan Smith so much. But opening night, Lowry skated out the puck. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, he's pretty good on skates.
He was pretty nervous about it too, I think, but he did well.
Yeah, he looked good on skates, man. Maybe he could play a defender for us or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess we don't want him to get hurt.
That's true. The season's at the same
brawl.
Time too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if we decide to tank this year and shut him down, he can just switch teams.
Sports, yeah.
But we're 2-0. I watched the game last night. Maybe it was the night before. I can't remember. Went to overtime.
Let's go.
It was pretty crazy, though, actually. We were tied. I think it was 3-3. They scored, and then 10 seconds later, we scored and tied it up.
My gosh.
And then it's kind of cool the way the overtime works, I guess, is they have a 3-on-3 with and then also a goalie. And it makes it kind of interesting, and then it's whoever's sudden death. Dylan
Gunther. That's so crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Dylan Gunther, he's been scoring like all the goals.
Yeah.
Really?
He has four through two games.
Do you know if he's like a forward or...
He seems like a defender to me, but I don't...
It's kind of hard to tell positions sometimes when they're kind of all over.
Yeah, hockey's got such weird, not weird, but different strategies. Like the backline guys are the ones that take most of the shots, which seems like the defender. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I'm still getting my head wrapped around it.
But I know Clayton Keller, he's our captain.
Yeah.
He's the center, so he's in the middle. So we're still learning. But wow, I mean, it can't get much better in hockey overtime because it's so chaotic.
Yeah.
You'd have anything could happen.
Hockey's definitely different. Such a different environment than basketball too. Like, I don't know if you saw everybody, I don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing, but the most alcohol ever sold at a Utah sporting event.
Oh no.
The game one. I think it was $120,000, which was like, they said was like seven or eight Jazz games or something.
Holy
which
cow.
Is insane. And there's like people chugging beer out of shoes. And so it's a, Utah's going to get used to hockey, I guess.
Yeah, I think they're already used to it.
Yeah, it seemed like a crazy environment, so it was pretty cool. BYU had our blue and white game. We got to see Yegor Demin, Cannon Catching, those guys. It's BYU.
Elijah Crawford.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're all looking good.
Kaba Keita looked really nice. Of course, Richie.
Who's that?
He played really
well. What's the name of the guy from Serbia?
Boskovic. I can't remember. I don't remember how to say his first name. But
Boskovic.
Yeah. He looked really nice. He hit it like a three, super clean jump shot. He's 6'10". I think he's our tallest player.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of centers.
No.
Yeah, we're wondering
really exciting.
If Foose might not start this year.
Yeah, I don't. He might work his way out of the lineup.
He was like our kind of, I don't know, kind of scoring option for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll even play.
Yeah, I thought it was a little rough last year when we tried to run the offense through him because he just like post up, dribble, power dribble, downside.
And he's not very tall compared to all the other centers.
6'6", yeah. Not very big. But super exciting. I saw a bunch of NBA prospect pages posting about Yegor Demin's stats. Yep. 12-9-8 or something, or 12-8-7 or something like that.
Yeah, Draft Express had a reel of his highlights.
Yeah.
So.
The weird thing, though, I saw they took a poll of all of the head coaches in the Big 12, and BYU is slated to finish like 8th or 9th.
Wow.
But the Big 12 is kind of a monster. I mean, you got Kansas, Houston, Arizona.
Wait, top 8
Baylor.
In the nation or Big 12?
In the Big 12.
Okay, I was like, wait.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah, I should have specified.
I was like, top 8 in the nation looks pretty good, but top 8 in the Big 12, not so hot.
No, but as we know, BYU does well against expectations. We're seeing it right now. We saw it last year in basketball, this year in football. So.
Yeah, if anything, Yegor Demin's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
He can pass, he can defend, he can dunk, he can shoot. He can kind of do it all, so it's kind of fun to watch him.
Absolutely. Seems like the team's gelling, so.
And then we've got Big Noon kickoff
coming
to Provo tomorrow the BYU versus Arizona football game. I don't know if that's happened before.
I don't think so.
Big Noon's kind of new.
Yeah.
But that'll be fun. We'll be heading to that as the background students. So.
Yeah.
Anything you would hope for in this BYU versus Arizona game? Like, what are you kind of expecting from BYU?
I keep feeling like this is a trap game. I just hope we don't overlook Arizona because we saw what they did to Utah. They've also looked bad in some games, so we just need to play our game, play hard, and not like play like we're the better team, because
if we keep forcing turnovers, I think we'll be in great shape.
So
I think as long as we can win the turnover battle, I think that's been like the biggest factor on whether we've won games or not.
Absolutely. Daytime and games have been hard for us, but it is at home in LES, so
that helps a lot.
Lots of excitement. I think we sold out already. It was like a couple days before, which is pretty big. The Rock tickets sold out in like 30 minutes. I don't know if you saw this.
I heard it was like 17 minutes.
Oh, was it? Yeah, I just saw 30 minutes later they posted that it was sold out. But yeah.
Sheesh. Yeah, it's
people
crazy.
Are excited, so it should be fun.
So that'll be a fun game tomorrow. Yeah. That'll be, I thought Kansas State was the test. Then I thought Baylor was the test on the road. We're just going to say this every single week. This is the test for BYU. Like, I don't know. Eventually we'll just say like maybe we are good.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. You know me, I'm not like, I'm a certified Utah hater, but I really hope Utah wins out until our game, because this is going to be a monster holy war. Like, Like, if they're one loss and we're zero losses, this might be a top 10 matchup, I think.
No, I could see that.
So this would be, that would be a fun game to watch. So I'll pray for them that they that they get there and they'll get their second loss against us. So.
Well, thank you for watching this episode of the Tuned In Utah Jazz podcast. It's getting close to the NBA season, so as that's coming, make sure to share our podcast with your friends. Make sure to tune into these preseason games and get excited for the Jazz as they start their new season. And let us know on Instagram or Spotify anything you'd like us to talk about, any questions you have, and we'll look forward to making another episode next week.
Peace.